The message this morning is out of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31, and it's called simply Most Excellent Mom. After I titled it, I thought, you know, Most Marvelous Mom would be three M's in a row there, but I stuck with the original title, Most Excellent Mom. We'll be looking at that from the Scriptures. In our men's Bible study that we've been having on Thursday nights a couple of times a month now for several months, one of our studies dealt particularly with the issue of how the Bible speaks about women. Some people have the perception that the Bible speaks negatively about the character of women. In some cultures, though, women are seen as second-class citizens. I've read in some cultures, in one particular culture, once the husband dies, the wife is taken out to the river and drowned because her value was placed in her husband. So when the husband is gone, there's no need for the wife anymore. I don't think you see that in today's culture, at least not that I'm aware of. I don't know about some of these places our missionaries are going, but I don't think you see that prevalent now. But even in biblical days, When Ruth was around, Brian's doing a study on Ruth on Wednesday night, and we was talking about how Naomi, with the loss of her husband and her sons, how there was no one left to care for her, how she was just a liability on society. She didn't have no one to take care of her. It was a serious problem. Now, it doesn't say that they are to destroy the wife or kill the wife or any way as such as that. But nonetheless, even in the culture of the Bible, we have that thought prevailing. But the Bible itself takes a different approach towards women. It takes a high approach towards women. And a culture that would put down the Bible lifts up the status of women. Think about what's recorded in the Scriptures when it comes to women. Who was the first to proclaim the risen Savior? Was it a man? No, it was women who came to the tomb and discovered the empty tomb for themselves. Well, while the men were fighting among themselves about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, what were the women doing? They were serving Jesus. Who was it that anointed the feet of Jesus, that washed his feet with her tears and her hair? There to show an act of worship before the Lord. Was it a man? No, it was a woman. Yeah, the Bible speaks very highly of women, but there's one text in particular that demonstrates the very value of women. And we have that in our text here in Proverbs chapter 31, and the text typically referred to as the virtuous woman. Now, the purpose of this service this morning is not to worship a woman, but a Savior. But it's a Savior that in God's economy allows the a creation of a motherhood to direct the lives of many people in the direction of Christ Jesus. One of my favorite Mother's Day passages is Lois and Eunice, Timothy's mother and grandmother, and how they taught young Timothy the Scriptures from a child that was able to make him wise unto salvation. And you have to wonder, where would that young man be if it wasn't for his mother and his grandmother? It carries great weight in the family to have a God-fearing woman present. The virtuous woman or the virtuous wife is found in Proverbs chapter 31. I'm going to begin reading in the 10th verse. It says this: Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers the fields and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the staff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends to her hand to the poor, yet she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes a tapestry of for herself, her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household. She does not eat of the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this text. And Lord, thank you for the characteristics of this godly woman we see in scriptures. And we thank you for how the Bible portrays women. And Lord, this is a very high view of a great woman. Lord, today as we honor the mothers that are here and the mothers that have gone on before us, maybe we don't have the privilege of being with our mothers today. But Lord, we thank you for the gift of motherhood and all the sacrifices involved. We love you and we love them. That's this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in 1908, a lady named Anna Jarvis asked her church in Philadelphia if they could have a special service to remember her mother. 1908, think about that. How many years ago was that now? 1908, let's see, do the math. 2008, that's 100 years ago today. Actually, 100 years ago yesterday. It was May the 10th in 1908 that a special service was held to honor the mother of Anna Jarvis. 4 years later, in 1912, President Woodrow Wilson created Mother's Day on the second Sunday of May, and we've been celebrating Mother's Day ever since then. So what does the Bible have to say about the most excellent mom that we're talking about this morning? The text that I've just shared with you from verse 10 to verse 31 is an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet. Each one begins with the next successive Hebrew letter. That's why I asked the children this morning, and asked Virginia anyway, if she would mind sharing this list from her class this morning about the alphabet and what motherhood means to the children in her class. Always being there, beautiful, caring, eating a lot, all these things that was discovered from the children's hearts and the children's minds this morning. It's an acrostic of the alphabet giving details about a mother. Well, that's exactly what we're looking at in Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in the 10th verse. We begin, you don't see it in the English, but we begin with the Hebrew alphabet, going through the 22 letters found there. So what does it say this morning? We can learn from this text five characteristics of a godly woman. Well, really, many of these attributes would apply to men as well. To be a man or a woman of virtue, then we can learn from the assets found here and the resources and characteristics found here. The first point I'd like to share, first characteristic, is that the woman is an asset. She's an asset. Look at verse 10 through 12. It says, "Who can find a virtuous wife or a virtuous woman? Her worth is far above rubies, and her heart of their husband safely trust in her. He'll have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." So her worth is far above rubies. Her husband can safely trust in her. That says a lot of things there. To know that the heart of a man can trust in the woman that he's sharing his life with. A woman that he's entering into matrimony with. The holy estate of matrimony. Marriage. Says he will have no lack of gain. She's going to do good for him and not evil all the days of her life. She's not a liability. She's an asset. She's not a worthless expense. She has great value. The Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I've often wondered why it doesn't say the same thing about a husband. He who finds a husband, you have to put up with him for the rest of your life. It's probably what it says there. But nonetheless, it's a good thing to find a wife, and that person obtains favor from the Lord. Why is that? Because the wife is an asset to the husband. Yeah, it's nice to see that. In creation, Adam was created right after the animals were created. Remember, as things were being created, it was good, it was good, it was very good when man was created. And the one thing that God said wasn't good, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. He needed to have the companionship of a wife. So God provided for Adam, Eve. He said, I'm going to create a helper meet for him, a helper suitable for him, suitable to meet the companionship that he needed. She's not simply another creature to care for among all the other animals that God had entrusted Adam with, but an asset to assist him. According to this text, the virtuous woman, the virtuous wife, is fulfilling God's purpose in both her life and the life of her husband. This holds true for all relationships. We should be assets to one another, not simply liabilities. Sure, we're to lean on one another. We're to be there for one another. But to be a constant liability can strain a relationship. All taking and no giving is not a healthy scenario, especially when it comes to marriage. We need to be an asset for one another in the marriage relationship. We need to be an asset to one another in the church relationship. We need to be an asset to one another in our family. She demonstrates here that she was an asset. What other characteristics can be found in a virtuous woman? How can these assets be manifested? How can they be made known? Well, the next characteristic gives us an idea of that. Not only was she an asset, but she's also a provider. She's a provider. Look at verse 13. It says, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservant. She seeks out the wool and the flax. She seeks out the materials that she needs. She works with her hands. She brings in the food. She rises early to provide food for the house. This is not to stereotype women in any way, but I'm just telling you what I witness in my home. And we gave out Walmart gift cards a little while ago. All these mothers received a gift card to Walmart for $15 a piece. Just in case you're wondering how much is on there, I don't think it's written on there anyway. We'll go try to spend $100. Nope. $15 a piece there, so you can pick out what you want there. But you notice a lot of times I used to think that Walmart was Tanya's best friend. She was always there. I said, where are you at? Oh, Walmart. There again, huh? But when they have a good year, it's because Tanya has been there a lot. It works great that way. Have you heard about the man wanting to be buried at Walmart? It's an old joke, but he figures if he's buried at Walmart, at least his wife will come see him once a week. That's the way it works. Walmart is a good friend to Tanya. But man, let's be honest. Let's think about it for a minute. It says she, like the merchant ship, she's bringing in the food for her family. And that's what Tanya goes. She'll go to Walmart, she'll go to Sam's, and she'll come back, and that car is loaded with food in the back, bringing in from the ships that have delivered it to Walmart and to Sam's, bringing it into the household to feed her family. That's exactly what she's doing there. Man, how many of you have been to the grocery store in the past week, the past month? Some of you have been. Here's one I can identify pretty good with. I thought about this. How many times have you been to the grocery store that you had to call home to ask your wife where something is in the grocery store? Yep. Okay. We got some honest people there. It's the strangest thing. You would think a grocery list would be self-explanatory, but it's not. It's coded in motherhood. I'm convinced of it. I used to work in a grocery store, Tim. I've worked at a grocery store before. That was my dwelling. That was my habitat. I knew it well. But send me after a loaf of bread today, I'm lost as I can be. Hey, matter of fact, when I call, I think the girls expect this. My daughters expect this. I think they just sit around the phone and count until I have time to get to the store and get on the aisle and think I'm supposed to be on and call them. Because every time I call back and I'll say, Tanya, did you say? Before I say anything else other than that, I hear all this giggling going on in the background. They know exactly what I want. Who makes the bet? Does Tanya say, I bet he'll call in 5 minutes. I guarantee you that takes place. Sarah. Well, I bet it had to be Sarah. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14 says this, therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, and manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Managing the home is a part of the responsibility that God has given to the wife. Managing a home is not an easy task. Man, that wicker basket that you have in your bedroom or that wicker basket that you have in your bathroom is not a magic transport machine to your sock drawer. You put it in there and next thing you know, 2 days later, they're folded up and in your drawer. It doesn't happen like that. It's not magic. Something has taken place in that home for that to occur. Clean clothes, food on the table, a clean home. It all takes work. You saw what happened in the first video when the woman took the day off. You see what happens when that occurs. Notice when I read 1 Timothy a while ago, though, it said women, they manage the household. How many of you work in the corporate world? You do. A lot of you do. Some of you may be managers in the corporate world. Does that mean a manager has to do all the work? No, it don't. It means that they see to it that the work gets done. That they manage it. They oversee it. The woman's job, the woman's mission, the woman's desire through the scriptures here, what Paul's saying to Timothy is for the widows to manage the household. Kids, this is important. When your mom tells you to clean up your room, Nicholas, not that your room needs cleaning, it's a biblical command. You've got to do it. Otherwise, you're in big trouble. They manage the home. They're providers. And aren't you thankful for that characteristic? What else is a characteristic we see here? She's also industrious. She's industrious. And that is on the screen so that you can spell it if you're taking notes. Several of the younger kids from the Sunday school classes are telling me they're taking notes in the sermon. So make sure we get that right. She's industrious. Look at verse 16. She considers the fields and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself for strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She buys an investment property. She's industrious. She's out there. She's a merchant. She's buying things. She's buying and selling property. She's trading. She's doing a lot of things. She's industrious. Her arms are strong, it says, from the responsibility that she carries. She's not a weakling. She's meek. Remember what meek is? Power under control. Tony and I was watching, we turned on the TV after the event here at the church yesterday morning, and the college gymnastics was on TV. And folks, I tell you, that unlike the Olympics, there's some muscular girls in that college gymnastics thing, turning flips and the things they were doing. They had strength in their arms for sure, but that's not what they're talking about here. Talking about strength. They're able to carry out business. They're able to do what's necessary to do what God has desired for them to do. She works hard, and the results are evident in the quality of their work. What does she do? Look at verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out the hands to the needy. Yeah, she's industrious in her care for others. She's there to help those in need. I'm thankful for those that have the ability to discern the need of others. Or aren't you thankful when your mom comes to you and she's aware of a need that you have before you even have the need yourself, before you recognize the need for yourself? They have a way of doing that. They understand what's going on. There's another way that shows that she's industrious. She cares in the way she cares for her own. Look at verse 21. It says she's not afraid of the snow for her household. She's not like some that's afraid of snow, and snow in these days would be a little more difficult to snow in our days, for now we can play in the snow and we can go in and warm up. But here to stay warm in the snow was critical. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. And she makes a tapestry of herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Remember what we said about purple linen and purple cloth several weeks ago? That the dye from to make purple fabric is extracted from snails. And how it was a very expensive thing to have purple cloth and purple clothes and purple linen such as these, or a purple robe. It was a very significant thing to have such a thing. But it wasn't a problem for her because she was industrious. She could provide. She had a way of making things happen. She cares for her own. They're not going to be cold. They're going to be clothed. And they're going to be clothed nicely. So much so, you get back to the husbands here in the next verse. It says, verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. You know, you can tell how someone's home is by how people dress. You come in this morning, a lot of you came in this morning wet because it was raining. But if you come in this morning and soiled clothes and wrinkled shirts or something like that, it's going to give the impression that somebody don't care whoever sent you out looking like that. Maybe you dressed yourself. I don't know, but it makes an implication of what your home is like. I remember the other day I was ironing my shirt for Sunday morning. And I reminded Tanya, I said, you know, Adrian Rogers' wife said one time that she didn't think the pastor should ever have to iron his own shirt. I like that. Amen, man, come on. But then she reminded me, too, that she also said, anyway, she's never had to open a car door for herself when she was with her husband either. Two things. One of two things happens when you see a woman having a car door open for her. Either the car is new or the woman's new. Is the way I've heard that. It ought not be like that. She cares for her own. She takes care of her husband. And it's noticeable when he goes out because he looks well. He's well represented in the neighborhood. Why is that? Because the industrious wife is standing there behind him. It's a great thing. There's another way you can tell she's industrious, and that's her stewardship of her abilities. Verse 24 says, and she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. She has she abounds. She sells these garments that she's making to her home and she sells the garments and the sashes to others that others may benefit from the abilities that she has and the stewardship that, and she's a good steward of the abilities that God has given her. I think about a modern day equivalent of this. I think Pampered Chef and Mary Kay. I don't know if that's true or not, but they're out there working. You're industrious. You find ways as moms. You find ways as mothers. You find ways to be a mother, but yet still be a provider because you're industrious. Because you want to be an asset and not a liability. She's an industrious woman. Fourthly, she's a well-adorned woman. She is well-adorned. We've seen how well she clothes others. Now she is clothed in strength and honor. Look at it says in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. You see what that is? That's her adornment. She's adorned with strength and honor. I think about it as being clothed with the righteousness of God. It's a characteristic that God has given her because of her attitude here. She's adorned with strength and honor because of who she is and the character that she portrays. God's righteousness is a gift to us, but this adornment here is because of her character. She will rejoice in the time to come. She'll be rewarded for what she's done. Out of her mouth, it says here, she speaks wisdom. Are we wise when we speak? Mothers, are we wise when we speak church? Do we understand the implications of our words when we talk? Her tongue is the law of kindness. Does kindness characterize your speech at all times? Oh, it's refreshing to meet people and to associate with people who just never have a negative word to say, and they're always kind towards others regardless of the circumstances and what's taking place. They always find the good in people. This well-adorned lady, this well-adorned woman, this well-adorned wife speaks the law of kindness. She watches the way of her household, not eating of the bread of idleness. There's no soap operas and bonbons in this lady's life, no. She's taking care of business. Does that sound like somebody you know? Does that sound like somebody that you've had in your home raising you as a young person? Does that sound like your mother? What's the results of all this? Well, the last characteristic is this. She is praised. She is praised. Verse 28, 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. She's praised by her children. She's praised by her husband. Many do well, but she excels them all. She's the most excellent mom. And notice that it says there that she is praised. It does not say she should be praised, but she is praised. It shouldn't be up to Woodrow Wilson in 1912 to determine that we need to set aside a day to honor and praise our mothers. It should be a part of our lives every day that we have the gift of having our mother with us, that our mothers are praised for the work that they do. There's a big difference in what we should do and what we actually do. There comes a time as you mature. There comes a time as you grow up. And the young kids maybe don't see that yet. I hope that you do. You're old enough now. If you're in here, that means you're third grade and above. There's going to be a time that you're going to see all that your mom does. Maybe you don't see it until you get married and you see your wife start raising children. And then you start realizing the sacrifice that your mom went through bringing you up. But it says that we should praise her. What's her secret? How can you be the most excellent mom? There's the question of the day. Look at verse 30. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. So it's not in being charming, because charming can be deceitful. It's not in physical beauty, because this passes over time. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. She who fears the Lord, she's the one that will be praised. We're talking about praising our mother. What is it that makes her praiseworthy? Because she fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding, to have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fool despises wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Her relationship with the Lord is what makes all the difference in the world. You want to be a most excellent mom? Then you need to fear God for who He really is. Your relationship with God will make all the difference in the world. It's true for each and every one of us as well. You don't go to charm school to learn how to be a better mom. You don't go to charm school to learn how to be a better Christian. You don't have plastic surgery to make you a better mom. You don't have plastic surgery to make you a better Christian. There's not a show on Lifetime, TLC, ABC, CBS, or anything that gives extreme makeovers to tell you how to be a better Christian. How can you be a better Christian, and how can you be a better mom? You simply do this. You fear the Lord. But to fear the Lord and to honor the Lord and to respect the Lord and to accept the Lord, this is a virtuous woman. This is men and women of virtue. Fear the Lord and be the most excellent mom. Last verse. Give her the fruit of her hands. And let her own works praise her in the gates. Even before the invitation is given today, I want us to obey the command of verse 31. Give her the fruit of her hands. Maybe you've given a card today. Maybe you've given a gift today. Maybe you've made a phone call today. Give her the fruit of her hands. What's the fruit of her hands? What are we to give her? We're to give her our praise. And I'm wondering this morning, among us here today, is there one that would like to praise their mom today?